102.3 FM, WHIV LP New Orleans is the only community radio station in the city dedicated to human rights and social justice. All of our hosts and DJs are volunteers, and we're able to provide quality programming with your support. Consider becoming a member of WHIV by setting up monthly donations of any amount you wish. That could be $1, $5, or $10 per month, whatever you can do to help. Or you can make a one-time donation at the station too. We also have a new line of WHIV t-shirts and tank tops just in time for spring. They also make great gifts. Simply go to WHIVFM.org and click store or donate. Thank you for supporting WHIV. We are not a radio station with a mission. We are a mission with a radio station. End all wars. Preventing HIV is easy. Get PrEP. You can get free HIV testing at any Access Health Louisiana location, plus same-day primary care appointments are always available. Access has a new location in downtown New Orleans at the Pantheon Building, where individuals may be seen for diagnosis and treatment of HIV, STIs, and PrEP. Plus, all Access Health Louisiana patients qualify for discounted medications through their pharmacy. More information is available at accessla.org. That's accessla.org. Good morning, comrade, for the week. I am here with
Andy,
and this is Robert. So, geez, here we are. It's another week of the show, and I actually, to start off, I wanted to go back to a topic that I kind of got into last week, and I feel like I was kind of telling on myself, but I want to talk more about. I mentioned something called a doomer, and
Is that like a villain from like a Left 4 Dead?
No, this is serious. It's not Boomer. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good video game. I haven't played. I should boot that back up. I haven't played that. I'm still rocking that Mortal Kombat.
Left 4 Dead prepares you for socialism.
But whatever. I am ranked top 500 in the world in Mortal Kombat 11 right now, so that's an achievement.
Who do you play?
Scorpion's my main.
Dope.
I do the little jump back. My move is jump back. You think you can press a button. You can't because I teleport and then hit you with like the crushing blow super combo. Cheap. Yeah, and I would like not to do the fatality every time I win, but there's actually like a reason to do it because you get in-game currency because they're trying to turn every video game into a trashy mobile game.
Jeff and Michelle are here, so now this is going to be a gamer talk, sorry.
Yep, that's all it is. It's just gamer talk. Socialism is out the window. All this is gamer talk. So World of Warcraft Classic. No. Well, we can go into gamer. This is actually a good segue, because a lot of doomers play video games, and let's talk about the doomer. So
yeah.
The thing about the doomer kids and doomer people, I don't think there's actually an age attached to it, is that they have a total fatalistic view on the world. They think that there's really no reason for them to exist or go on because the world is so bad. They just want to play their video games and they want to surf the net and just lay down and rot. That's another term I've heard used. And I guess I want to talk about that because I have definitely felt like that in the not too recent past, and by that I mean last week. And I want to talk to the people who do feel like that, because I don't think that's a terrible way to feel. And allow me to elaborate on that. Well, first of all, you should go get your mental health checked out. If you live here in New Orleans, you should make it, and you don't have money, which is most of all of us, you should make an appointment with Crescent Care. They are a sliding scale clinic, so they do also specialize in mental health.
Also, if you qualify for Medicare, I know they like dropped a lot of people from it, but when I was in Medicare, I was able to go to counseling and psychiatry for free. A lot of it, most of it is covered. You just have to look what's in network.
Absolutely. Like, that's dope. I'm glad you did that, because I really want to erase the stigma, because it could be something as simple as your brain chemistry just not right, and that's obviously not your fault. Or it could be something like me, where I'm PTSD and also have ADHD, and I have a standing therapy appointment every week, and my therapist and I talk about this kind of stuff, to where she says, oh, you feel, and I want to directly talk to the doomers, because I say, the reason why, I'm gonna paraphrase what she tells me, the reason why you have this existential dread about the world and about yourself, your place in it, is because you are a good person and you care about things. If you didn't care about things, you'd be a sociopath. Again, it could be a brain chemistry imbalance, so go get that checked out. But the reason why you feel sad about the state of the world is because you're a good person, has empathy, and you care about things.
I found that it's true, yeah. Like, having empathy sometimes can be a curse, because it just makes you, like, want to not feel things. And then you just sort of resolve yourself to just not giving a crap.
No, that's...
So...
Yeah.
And just turn off your brain.
You just can't... Yeah, that's my status quo, to where my flight or fight response is just...
And also, we live in a society now where all the culture is, like you said, the doomer culture. Like, there are things to distract us now. There's Netflix. There's games. Games, like... You know, golden age of television, quote unquote. I think we're reaching the end of that. But, you know, movies. We now have access to everything that has ever been created. And that's because of capitalism. And it's sort of like late capitalism is the era we're in. And it sort of encourages that lifestyle, that like nihilist lifestyle. Like, don't pay attention to the world falling apart around you. You have all these things to distract you. Just, you know, don't worry about that. You can enjoy these things, you know, because you can't really yourself affect what's going on.
And it is very much so. And I think it's John Wick 3 came out the other day. So it was like TBS or something. They were playing The Matrix.
Oh, you mean, oh yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, like The Matrix is like, it became a meme, but no, the first couple, I would say, are like really solidly good movies and got me interested in philosophy, to where I wasn't interested in philosophy at all. I didn't know who Kant was or Hobbes or anything like that before I watched The Matrix for the first time. But yeah, it's a lot like that, to where you have all these distractions, which could be represented as the Matrix of video games and entertainment, and you're looking to fill a hole in yourself. But even after you master these things, or you consume all these different distractions, like, that hole is still there. And it's because there's a lot of different things going on. Like, Marx would say it's because you're alienated from your labor, if you're lucky enough to even have labor. There's a lot of different critiques of why, from a socialist perspective, of why you feel the way you do, and what you can do about it is try. And I understand there's a lot of lonely people, but there's a lot of people who feel the exact same way you do. And when I started going down this like doomer rabbit hole on YouTube, it actually made me feel really good, because it made me feel not crazy. And I think that's a really big thing for people who feel the way like I do personally, is just like, cause you start getting inside your own head and you're like, well, why do I feel like nobody else feels this way? And I've literally said this before. It almost feel like I wish I had a lobotomy, because it would be just easy to be just dumb and not think about this kind of stuff.
I would love to be dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously. It would be so much easier just to be like, rip-a-durr, like, got my NASCAR, got my, you know, gonna watch the Saints play Herb Dirt. Yeah. And it's like, man.
I would love to be a normie.
God, I talk to people like that, and it's like so much freedom.
And you're almost jealous of it.
Yes. Yes. I'm just completely jealous of it. And it's not like, oh, I'm such a high, sophisticated thinker. And I'm sure like these same people have existential dread too, but they seem to be functioning so much better.
Yeah.
In this like capitalist hell space than I am. Like, I have to have my headphones on when I go to the store because I don't want to interact with people.
Yeah, and that's like that's not from a sense of like your like that's from a sense of you don't not that you don't want to hear about people's problems, like it's because you care too much and you would like just break down entirely if you just had to deal with that. I think I wanted to add something. I think I felt like this before 2016 and like I had been feeling on this track as a doomer, quote unquote doomer, since I graduated college, maybe a little bit after college, because there was like literally nothing for me after college. Like I took a degree path that ultimately led to nowhere. Mm-hmm. I tried to work in my field, but found it was a pretty agonizing, soul crushing, low paying field that where there was no guarantee of any kind of success. And almost always ended in picking myself up and starting over again. And it just put me into a whirlwind of depression. And at some point I just finally had to like go and get like a job. And I started at the very low end of dishwashing, which I actually enjoyed. Like I think dishwashing is very underrated work. It doesn't pay very well. If it paid really well, I think more people would enjoy it.
You know, I read, it's a while. No, I didn't read. He actually said it. No expectations. And we're talking about serious stuff, but I was going to make like not a suicide joke, but I'm like, who's the guy who killed himself? Who's the chef?
Oh, Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I didn't want. But Anthony Bourdain said,
I mean, like probably not the only chef who did that, but the most, like, yeah.
But Anthony Bourdain said that, the best job he ever had was as a dishwasher. So I just
remember that. It's so introspective. Like it's kind of the only job in the kitchen where you really like you're kind of your own like boss, because like you basically you're in charge of your area. Like you don't have to work. There's no sous chef dishwasher. Right. Like you might have someone helping you like cleaning, but like it's just you and the dishes.
It's like an island of introverted.
I feel like I got most of my most complicated like thoughts and ideas like while dishwashing. Like it was a very like almost
zen
spiritual job. I really enjoyed it. It just doesn't pay very well. Like no dishwashing job. I mean, I'm sure there are dishwashing jobs like in big cities, big nice restaurants that pay really pretty well, like a living wage. But like the one I worked at did not. But then like I got out of that. Like I had like car troubles and like I would have to rely on public transportation in this city, which is just notoriously bad at that and awful, and just didn't really see myself going anywhere in life. And like I ended up just like, you know, tuning out and just like playing games, not even like really looking at what was going on in the world. And this was during the Obama era, so like, you know, things were bad, but we didn't get a whole lot of media coverage of that at that time. We did, but it was in small spurts.
That's so funny,
which is weird. And then that era ended, and you know, I kind of found somebody who was, you know, in a relationship with someone who was like kind of doing the same, feeling the same way. Like we kind of bonded over that, and she kind of found herself at the same time where I was kind of like reaching out to like figure out what I wanted to do, went back to school. And then like 2016 election happened, and I was like, yeah, you know, it finally feels like things are going right. You know, we're going to have, and this is when I was still considering myself like a liberal Democrat, where things are going good. Like we're going to have a first female president. She's got some things about her I really, really don't like. I like this Bernie guy a lot, but like, it's not his time. Like we need to, you know, we need to invest our intention into, you know, this like hope, change, all this stuff that, you know, worked before. And like, we need to beat this horrible person who's saying all these awful things. And then we know what happens with that. And like I remember like that day, like when, you know, Trump won the election, just like walking, like I like kind of like disoriented myself. Like I had to like take a walk on the I live right by the locks over in Metairie, and just kind of like felt those emotions swelling back up. Like, do a bunch of drugs, I'm gonna drink a lot, I'm gonna play games, like nothing matters anymore. And it was a very selfish feeling, and I hated feeling that way. And I hated feeling that way for some months. And then I realized, like, no, like, I don't need to be doing this to myself. Like, I can actually get out there and make a change. And that's when I found DSA. I'm not, like, trying to, like tell you to join DSA.
I'm telling
like,
you to join DSA.
Well, you should. I'm not telling that.
Find your local DSA chapter and join it.
Like, it just clicked. And you need to find something, whether it be DSA or any kind of organization that's doing community work, you need to find something that you can balance with your nihilism. Because let me tell you something. I think it's okay to be a nihilist. I think it's okay to be realistically like like sort of like, I guess I call it like an optimistic pessimist. Like, I think it's okay to say like, hey, this might not work out. You don't always want to be sitting there being like, oh yeah, they're going to impeach Trump tomorrow. They're going to get him. Because, like, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment every single time.
I'm a big comic book nerd, and there is the, what's the dude, the Inhumans who live in the moon?
Yeah.
Who's that, you know, they have that dog, Lockjaw, whatever.
Lockjaw.
But the one guy who's, like, his superpower is that he only has one power. He can see he can see what's wrong with any plan.
Karnak.
Karnak. I don't know anything about him. I don't think I've ever even read an Inhumans. Like, but that is the best power of all time. That's Karnak.
Yeah. Yeah. It is like that. Like, it's like, it's okay to be realistic about the future. It's okay to say, hey, we might not win. In fact, we might get to a point where we're just like, we just like lose. But you got to keep telling yourself, you got to be the seed for what's going to come. Like, it might not just be for you in like your lifetime. It might just be something you kind of start for another life, like another person's lifetime.
Just a reminder, you're listening to a 102.3 FM WHIVLP New Orleans. I was starting to say, you know, that's so funny. And what I meant by that a couple minutes ago, you were having all these troubles with, you know, you couldn't find a job and you just got into college and all this. I was actually on the flip side of that. It was so weird. I was working, I was living in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I had a really good job. I was making really good money. It's an all right city. I mean that. Like,
I've been a few times.
We can talk about Cincinnati. Yeah, it's definitely okay. But I was working for Citibank, and I was selling mortgages, and I was making buku money. I was making enough money that I used to just, you know what? I'm not going to work today. I'm going to go snowboard. You know what? I'm not going to work today. I'm gonna go play poker. That's what I'm doing with my money. Because I would do that once a week. Like, that's how much money, and I just didn't care. I was just pulling in money. But you know what though? Like, working for that place, I felt terrible on a daily basis.
Yeah, it doesn't bring you happiness.
I felt like the worst scammer of all scammers of all time. And I remember would finally like, and I was like, man, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna get out of here. But I was like, where can I go to where like I can make money like this? And what finally broke it for me, what finally was like, I have to leave immediately, was I read a report. I don't know who brought it up, but this is something I can link in the show notes or whatever. But it was in Indonesia, and this guy had an Indonesian dude owed a bunch of money to the local bank. Well, in Indonesia, they can actually just send, like, instead of calling you on the phone, they sent guys out to rough this dude up. And they ended up killing him.
Damn.
Well, the people who owned the subsidiary of that bank was Citibank. And I was like, I'm sitting here on this phone selling mortgages to people. I'm like, so now the company I work for is culpable in a murder.
Wow.
I was like, bruh, I was showing this to people. I was like, have y'all heard about this? Like, what is this? And they're like, oh, whatever, whatever. I'm like, this is us. Like, this is what we do for a living. I can't really do this anymore. So I found, it took me like a year after that. And I looked for a job in New Orleans. I found one. It didn't pay much, but I just didn't care. I just took it.
What made you decide New Orleans, may I ask?
Is that stupid old, like every other.
How everyone moves here. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, it's magical.
Great. Yeah. I was like, oh, I was like, yeah, I love it here. I can't wait to live here. I'm just going to stay.
And then you experience like a few summers and you're just like, why did I move
here? It's so hot out right now. But that's not even the issue. Like, it's five. I was 5 years ago and I've been here that long. And people say, what's that stupid, oh, wear sunscreen poem? Like, you should live in New York City before you get live there before you get too hard and then move to Topeka, Kansas. Like, no, I don't need to live in New York.
No.
Because I know what it's like to affectionately hate a place. So like, and that is New Orleans.
Right? I would never move to New York because I feel like I'd never want to hate New York. Because every time I visit New York, I have such a blast. I feel like if I lived there, I'd hate it. And that would drive me, like that would defeat any purpose of me ever living. Because if I hated New York, there would be no point.
Everybody I know who lives in New York hates it.
Yeah.
But what I mean by like affectionately hate New Orleans is that I couldn't live anywhere else in the city. I mean, in the country, but it's like there's so many things that are just backwards here. Just like, why do I have to boil my water once a month? Because the pipes here are Victorian.
100 years old, yeah.
Yeah, why am I 37 and have like, I pay almost $200 a month for car insurance on a car I own? Because they know that like people here cannot drive. It's not that people in New Orleans cannot drive. It's that people here in New Orleans, everything about all traffic laws are optional. It's just you feel.
Also, the roads will wreck your car.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or they'll flood now, as my car did last week.
Oh, yeah. How's that going? Did you get the little bags?
I tried getting spaking instead, did the damp rids, still wet in there.
Ugh,
I got so wild and wet. Gross, it's a swamp.
Well, at least it didn't hit your, like, the whole thing is if it hits your dash.
It didn't hit my dash.
Right? If it hits your dash, that's it.
It hit below the brake, but it's just smelly.
But the reason why I live here, I can hear people who are listening to this right now. Well, get out of here, you Yankee, you transplant.
Move to Baton Rouge.
The reason why I feel like I can't live anywhere else in the country. Maybe because I was in the Marines when I was right out of high school and traveled, I saw the world, and I came back to the United States, and I was like, what even is this? Like, this is so lame and boring. New Orleans is like the furthest I think you can live in America where you can. This isn't the southernmost, and I'm stealing this, so somebody else said this. I'm not trying to coin this, but take credit for it. But New Orleans is not the most southern city, one of the most southern cities in the United States. It's the most northern city in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And that's 100% true, and I absolutely love the Caribbean. My partner, my fiance, she had some... she had some relatives come in from out of town. They came in from Ireland, out of country.
Oh, wow.
And their first questions were just like, what's going on with your election? Like,
national election?
Yeah. They're Trump. They're like, all we ever hear about is Trump. And like, didn't he not even win the most votes? How does that even work? And I'm like, yeah. And by the way, your beer is trash. Like, that's supposed to be your brew. Like, it's not good.
Europeans hate all American beer.
Yeah, my Irish accent's terrible.
That was a hater candy.
But yeah, that's true. But he's, I've never felt, and I everything he was saying was right. Like, he was a good faith actor. He wasn't just trying to like trash America and trash New Orleans or trash anything. He's a good. He's like real legitimate questions of why. And I've never felt like I live in a second world country. Like, this is like, things here don't make sense. And we say that all the time. Like, yeah, there's so many things that don't make sense. And then we see like what an outsider thinks about here. And yeah, absolutely. Like, Ireland has its own problems. They're a tax haven for rich companies. They have an opiate problem just like here. You know, they've had the troubles, you know, people fighting over religions. It's insane. But when you look at how their representative democracy works, even though they're under the thumb of the UK, like, it works so much better than ours does here. And it just made me feel like embarrassed. Like, wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Man, the fact that like New Orleans is in one of the most conservative states in the United States. I mean, we're getting to the point where it's like there's starting to become more and more left voices in Texas. Left, quote unquote. There's like none in Louisiana. The Democrats in Louisiana are conservatives.
Yeah.
Straight BF up.
You know what? Let's talk about that for a second. So John Bel Edwards, our Democratic governor, is gonna sign. Has he signed off by the recording? Sign off.
I believe they're going to put this bill to a public vote. So let me rewind. So this LA Senate John Milkovich, I believe he represents one of the Little River parishes. He's a Democrat. He introduced they call it the fetal heartbeat abortion bill. Basically, it states that, like, if you can detect a heartbeat, you can't, like, have an abortion, which is, like, it's dumb. Like, it is completely, like, basically makes abortion illegal in the state of Louisiana. And he has put this to the Senate, and I think what ended up with it is it was put to a, it's going to be put to a public vote, which is going to be in November. So basically it's leaving it up to, like, Louisiana citizens essentially to, decide whether, whether John Bel Edwards will sign it. I believe that's what happened.
What a cop out.
Yeah. What,
how spineless is that?
Yeah.
That way he can, that way when it gets voted
when
for,
it passes,
yeah, when it passes, because, he can be like, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah,
because Louisiana voters are, the people who are going to vote on that are going to be all the older folks in all those, and Democrats, older Democrats in those parishes, basically will vote for that.
And he's going to go the way of Mayor Landrieu. Like, he's going to lose re-election. He's gonna lose the election.
Yeah, because Steve Scalise.
What's gonna happen is it's gonna pass. So he's gonna pass. He'll sign off on it. People in New Orleans will not come out for him. People in Baton Rouge will not come out for him. He'll try to make this big push, and people are like, "Well, what about the heartbeat bill?" And be like, "Whoa, I didn't have anything to do with that because I'm spineless. I wouldn't take a stand on anything." So you're gonna pull Mayor Landrieu, and you're gonna lose re-election because you didn't run to the left. Like, if it's coming up against you and you know, you're like, you know what, I'm a Democratic governor here in a red state, and it's just not for me. Like, I'm going to at least go out swinging. Like, don't go out on your back foot. It doesn't make any sense. Like, why do we even have...
Like, you can disagree yourself on, like, the principle of abortion. Like, you yourself could, like, decide that, like, I personally wouldn't have an abortion, but that isn't, because you're a Democrat, that doesn't make you like, you're under a big tent of Democrats who are all, like, at the, for the most part, pro-choice. It doesn't matter what you personally think. You need to, like, be pro, like, you need to push pro-choice legislation.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the women of Louisiana, because it's going to bite you in the long run. So now we're going to have a situation where, like, you're going to run against, like, I don't know, like, Jeff Landry or Steve Scalise.
Who's that guy I see the billboards for? It's just like, he's like, make all the police
super cops.
Super cops. We need RoboCop. build a wall.
I wish we had RoboCop. RoboCop is actually
no, RoboCop. Not a cop. That's a whole nother topic. RoboCop is the most leftist.
He's a leftist
movie of all time. That's all. We're gonna get into that's like a bonus show thing. Yeah. We're gonna do a full critique of RoboCop. Write it down. Stay tuned for that.
RoboCop is the only the only cop who does not count as a cop.
No, he's
Sonic
he's
is a cop. Amazing. Sonic the Hedgehog is a cop. Oh, Pikachu is a cop.
Good Lord. How about when RoboCop saves that woman from being raped? Oh, it's the best. Anyway.
Yeah, I love RoboCop.
Okay, any Paul Paul Verhoeven movies?
Starship Troopers, also pretty leftist.
Except for
Anti-imperialist.
Paul Verhoeven directed Showgirls too. So let's forget that ever happened.
Wait, no, did he?
Yeah. I think it's Paul Verhoeven.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm looking this up.
Look it up right now. Look it up. So, John Bel Edwards. Yeah. So, running on the back foot, like, you're a Democratic governor here in a red state.
Yeah, he did do Showgirls.
See, I told you.
He cashed that check.
Yeah. You got to get that bag, son. You got to grab the bag. But we were saying, abortion heartbeat bill. John Bel Edwards, if you're going to be a Democrat, then at least act like a Democrat. There's no reason to have you. We might as well just let the guy, whoever that is. It's like,
if you're going to be a Democrat, just do nothing, because that's what Democrats do. Like, just be like, I'm not going to pass.
This is kind of
I'm not going to sign this. I'm not going to do anything. Just do that.
This is kind of him doing nothing, though. This is a cop out.
True.
Yeah.
So maybe he is acting like a Democrat.
I mean, which says a lot. I guess so. Yeah. Absolutely.
Pelosi and Chuck are just like, someone else should do it. We're not going to impeach him. I mean, whatever. It's fine.
It's absolutely.
It's a mess.
It's absolutely awful. And let's do the station ID one more time here. And you're listening to 102.3 WHIV LP New Orleans. Now, did you watch the ending of Game of Thrones?
I did watch the ending of Game of Thrones.
I also did. How on a one scale, how terrible did you think it was?
I thought it was perfect. I thought it was like just satisfactory. Right. I did not want a Lord of the Rings type ending on this thing.
But you got that.
And I got that. And I was a little disappointed by that. I didn't want it. I thought we were doing a thing with this show where I was like, oh yeah, it's like the opposite of a fairy tale. But we got the fairy tale ending for like most of the characters. Like the whole Starks like pretty much came on top. And I was like, you know.
Oh, spoilers, by the way. I don't care. This show is coming out 2 weeks. Sorry. Yeah. You had 2 weeks.
We could have done it last week. Turn it off. We didn't.
Do whatever. I don't care.
I think everything with Danny was good, and I like the rug being pulled out on that. I guess you can say like the heel turn was too fast or whatever, but they explain like this has been long coming, and like if you worked yourself up about that, like being like Daenerys being like a feminist icon, like I'm sorry.
That's anyway. Why you're like, why are we talking about Game of Thrones? Like, what? I thought it was some kind of socialist commie podcast. Yeah, that's what we want to talk about. So,
what do you think of the episode, by the way?
It was fine.
Okay,
yeah, I didn't think
a little boring, predictable.
It was fine. Like, yeah. Actually, there were plenty of like LOL. Like, I laughed out loud.
Oh yeah, when Sam's like, "What if we had democracy?" and they all just laugh, stupid. Like, "Ah,
and like,
you're
yeah."
Dumb.
And like Sansa like looks into the camera and laughs.
She like they will wink dumb. At the camera, like, "Uh huh."
Or when they told Joe Biden to sit down, that was
that was fun. That was good. I like that.
So dank, man. Well, my point is, what we wanted to say was, Game of Thrones has finally it's finally happened. Feminism has won. Feminism. And let me explain to you why. Like, it's over, guys. We can just shut the whole thing down because men and women are equal from this point on after that Game of Thrones episode. And I'm explaining to you how this works. Now, I was a kid, and when I was 16, I had one of my favorite movies was Clockwork Orange, and I ended up reading the book. That I was a weird kid. That and like I read all Hunter S. Thompson stuff.
I read Clockwork Orange and saw it in like 7th grade, 8th grade.
And I also had the movie poster. I love the movie. I had it on VHS. I remember back in the day on VHS, I had to go to like Suncoast Video in the mall and like order it. It was such a way. It was like $25. Man. Point is, so my dad saw that poster go up in my room, and we had a nice talk about things because obviously there's something going on when you're putting up Clockwork Orange posters, and let's have a talk about your life, which is completely fair because you need like. Why do you like this so much? And I've always heard from women, especially my partner, she said that a good rule of thumb is if you meet a guy who's really into Clockwork Orange and really into Alex, just run away, block them on all social media. It's the safest thing for your physical safety and mental safety because this person is probably a psychopath.
What's the modern thing of that? Fight Club?
No.
Or is it just Clockwork Orange?
No.
What?
The equivalent.
What's the equivalent?
Is Daenerys Targaryen.
Oh.
That is the equivalent. That's why feminism is when we're equal now. So if you meet a woman, especially a liberal, if you meet a person with a Twitter handle or Facebook that has hashtag resist after their name, and they are super into Daenerys Targaryen, because and saying that how she got screwed.
You're calling Hillary Khaleesi.
Yeah, and they're super into Hillary Clinton. And that's I told you this whole show is just it's a Trojan horse for the Bash Hillary Hour. Run, because this person is a sociopath, or maybe even a psychopath. I am not a mental health professional, but this person is terrifying. The idea that one, you say the turn was too fast. Okay. The turn was too fast because the guys who wrote the show, the showrunners, wanted to go write Star Wars. And Martin was like, give me 4 more years. And they're like, nah, dog, we'll give you 2 with 8 episodes. So they had to slam they had to give you the Cliff Notes version of Game of Thrones. That's why her turn was quote unquote too fast. But if you could not see her turn was coming, she literally looked you in the eyes on that show and said, it is mine by right. It is my turn.
So
I'm with her.
My thing with Daenerys Targaryen, and we don't have to get too much into this, but like the scene when I did a rewatch of all the seasons before this new season, I'm with her when she's, so her story is like a Walter White story, mm-hmm. I guess. Like she kind of started out as a good person, I think. Like when she, in the first season, like she was basically like pretty innocent, like teenage girl in the books, but like mm-hmm. young adult for legal reasons in the show. She was kind of like warped over time. The part where I like was like, okay, I see where they're going, where they're doing her turn. Is at the end of, I think season 3 or 4 is when she liberates.
Yes!
The Thank slaves, you. All the brown people.
Yes!
And then she's like basking in their glory. Well, she sees them herself. I'm okay with that.
Keep going though.
She sees herself as their savior, but she can't lead them. She doesn't know what they need because she didn't live their life. She was a rich okay. woman. So like then you see like the later seasons like her failing at every turn at governing them.
She's like an analogy for like the in that point she's like an analogy right. for it's almost a perfect you can slide this in perfect for the guy, the Microsoft guy.
Bill Gates.
It's, oh. it's the Gates Foundation yeah. and how they like dumped all that. They took over education. Yeah. And then they're a decade later like, oops, our bad. We screwed everything up.
She's like, we had no idea what we were talking about.
She's
like,
an NGO.
Right. And that's when I saw like, okay, I see what Martin was doing this too. I see what Martin was doing here and the show's creators. I don't know if the show knew that. I think they maybe like subtextually thought that like, oh, she would be the hero by the end, but
So Daenerys Targaryen, where she was the worst, like when I'm like, oh, you're trash, you're absolutely trash. Where it was, you had to fast forward for me. You had to fast forward a little bit past the liberation because it's like, yeah, you just liberate all these people. I'd be pumping my fist too. I'd be like, yeah, yeah, I'm the man. Like, let's
that's
do great. It.
That's fine.
Blah blah blah. Blah. You know, woo woo woo. But when they moved on. And they were like, okay, we're going to go, we got to go to
the other city
and we're making our way to King's Landing. And Varys and Tyrion or the rest of our small council goes, my queen, all the slavers have retaken Meereen and everybody's back yeah. in slavery. And she just goes, all right, well, they served their purpose. And she didn't say that, but that was her whole idea. Like,
she gave it up.
Nah, all right, cool, whatever. That's not is that King's Landing? Is that the Iron Throne? Nah, then I'm not interested.
When she left for King's Landing,
like, all right.
When she left for King's Landing, like all those cities are just slave cities again.
Yeah,
she didn't liberate anybody.
You trash.
She left them there to rot. So it's like because she knew going in, like, oh well, I'll just go back and do it. But like you still have people back to suffer.
All that Misa, all that I'm the breaker of chains and all that.
It was branding.
It was. Trash Hillary. It was Hillary Clinton going to the right. South, hot sauce in my bag, swag. That's what it was. Like, I need you for right now, and then after that, I don't need you. I cast you off because I need to go sit on the Iron Throne. And it's like, if you couldn't see that coming, I don't know what show you're watching. I just feel that so many Mick resistors got in their feelings about this character. Name me the actual people who are good in that world. They all got screwed over. Grey Worm, screwed over.
Yep.
His love is gone. His queen is gone. He's a man without a home. He's the one standing out there. He when they had their little weird small council and everybody's voting on, and they're like, "Oh, Grey Worm, it's not for you to decide." What? We just killed all these people for you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, son? That was very weird.
What? We're the only one with an army right now. You got a bunch of Northmen that are cut off from their home. So we have control of King's Landing, and also what's the place where all the Highgarden?
Yeah,
bring your dudes up here and see how long they last against our Unsullied. And I was so you just cut this guy off? Yeah, and Dothraki. So you just cut this guy off. You want to talk about some weird kind of racist trope right there, to where he did all the heavy lifting, and then he's cut out.
I wish the season went more into the racial politics. There was kind of a missed opportunity. They did a little bit in Winterfell, like where people in Winterfell were like, I don't know who these I don't know who these black people are. Like that was really weird. But they didn't do. They did. I guess like they're. I don't know. I feel like maybe that was like the side of the season that would have been interesting.
Who else is good? I was trying to think. To finish my theory was Bran didn't get to be her man. Should have write a little memoir. Who else is actually good? I guess
Davos. But he also worked
things
for,
worked out good for Davos.
He worked for Stannis. He was like this complete sociopath.
Basically. Yeah, but in that world, like loyalty.
Yeah,
is, like,
right.
But I guess my but theory.
He had a good heart. Like his. Like
he was always from jump. He was better than John because it was like you burning people. Like what was this all about? And John would just like mope around, and be like, "Well, I guess she's not queen." And blah 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 blah. Samwell, things worked. So my theory's blown up. I don't know.
Gilly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What happened to Gilly? Gilly was the best character. Gilly was great because she was like the R2-D2 of that world where she was like a common man.
I loved Mance Rayder. I thought he was one of the best characters, and he went out like. I think he's alive in the books. Because, like, in the books, he was, like, a shapeshifter, basically.
Oh.
Anyway, I don't know. We're getting too deep. But basically, the point is that, like, if you thought that the heel turn came too fast for Danny, you might want to, rewatch or, like, rethink that. Because if you're the type of person who's like, yeah, I'm just going to scorch the earth and do good for everybody and liberate everyone, and all I gotta do is just say these things but not actually practice them, that's an issue.
Yeah, very, very much so. Like I said,
you're headed on a path to basically have no soul.
So weird. So weird. Again, you're listening to 102.3 FM WHIV LP New Orleans.
No, like I was saying, you know, I'm scared of the future, you know, as a woman, as well as with where like the world is going in general. It's very scary to think that, you know, we're getting older and it's going to be even harder to really survive. Right. You know, like if you can't afford health care, I mean, if you can't protect yourself, I mean, it's a very scary world right now. I'm feeling it today.
I myself have a halfway joking, not joking bug out plan, which I'm probably only 20% joking. Like my.
Oh yeah, I'm not joking anymore.
Yeah, my I have a passport. My bug out plan, if it got to it to where it got till it got too bad where I can't leave, is Belize. Like, I mean, I'm serious. Like, I'm not. It's terrifying to think of stuff like that. Like, well, even my fiance is like, "What are you gonna do in Belize?" I'm like, "Not be here.
Not
like,
be if I, in America."
Yeah, if I'm gonna watch the world in, I'm gonna do it there.
I'll be on the beach with my popcorn and Mai Tai. That's a terrible combination to think about. But no, I'm right there with you. I've for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm thinking about. Obviously, I'm getting older, right? So, like, my mortality is right in my face, mm-hmm. you know. But survival is something that I've never really thought about. Like, what does it mean to protect myself? Like, I've never thought about owning a gun or learning how to shoot a gun. But I'm kind of at that point in my life where it's like, what if stuff goes down? Like, I'm not going to be caught off guard. That, and in addition to having sort of like survival gear, or just in general, like, I feel like we're so disconnected from like the sources of things that we don't even know how to grow our own food.
The great thing about, I think we talked about this before, is how technology is flattening everything.
Yes.
And the great thing about that is if you want to learn how to do all this stuff, I don't see a lot of, like we talked about People's Defense League, which used to be John Brown Gun Club, and we have a local chapter here, but we don't see a lot of leftist prepping, which honestly, I get all my prepper info off of... like right-wing like right-wing YouTube, where there's a guy, he's like a super really good video guy, and he does these preppers, and one I felt like I commented from my sock puppet account on YouTube, and I said, man, this is some really good info. I hate that I have to get it from you, because I feel we are completely
we're
completely ideological opposites. So thanks for the info, and I'll see you on the field, I guess. I mean, if it could, like there's actually an acronym for that, for things hitting the fan. I was like, when that happens, I guess. And I don't want to be a complete reactionary to think, I don't want to turn this into the Alex Jones show where we're sitting here trying to sell gold bullion.
The lizard
but
people.
It's nice to have a rain barrel. I have one in my backyard now. It's nice when you go to the grocery store, like buy a couple cans of extra.
Well, I mean, just look at climate change, for instance. We get hurricanes every year. It might not hit us, but like on that sort of level, survival mode, you should be sort of prepared for if a hurricane doesn't happen, and maybe it's more climate change related. But just in general, I hate giving the right wing anything, but they're smart for being prepared sort of for the worst. And I feel like that's where the left maybe lacks a little bit, just because we're not soft, but I think we're just a lot more scared of maybe the reality of the world we live in.
I honestly think it comes from a place of we expect people on the left, like we're socialists, so we in our minds, in our, I don't want to say dream world, but in our best intentions, that's not the right framing, but we expect our government to take care of us, and that's terrible too. It's not take care of us, it's to provide, it's to actually do what governments are supposed to do. It says in the Constitution of the United States in the first couple lines to provide for the general welfare. So we expect when Hurricane Katrina happened here, I didn't live here, I didn't go through it. You expect the government to come in and not let what happened here actually happen, and people become refugees in their own country. That's absolutely insane. And the way that our government here is a right wing, it's a right wing fascist government. I know it's a meme now, like, oh, everything's Hitler,
everything's fascist.
But no, we
call it like we see it.
We've got a dummy fascist at the highest level of power in our government right now. And so when things go down, nobody's coming. So if Hurricane Katrina 2 happens tomorrow, it's going to be as bad as before, if not worse. So we have to decide, like, Calvary's not coming. We have to I can envision anarchists listening to this right now and just we're going, yes, this is what I'm talking about. We're getting one to turn finally. We're getting one of these liberals to. I'm like, yeah, but you're right though. But you're right. The government ain't coming.
Yeah, I've been an anarchist my whole life, pretty much, because I realize unfortunately, you cannot rely on the powers that be, right? You can only rely on your community. And what's scary is, or the problem is, and I think that's what socialism is trying to rebuild back, is a sense of community, is being able to lean on your comrades and the people that live within basically your bubble, right? Like, we can get on tangents about, like, world policies, like, hell, even, like, Trump and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, if something goes wrong, like, I know I've got people that will have my back, and, you know, we can do potlucks, we can help each other, we can, like, I don't know. I mean, but just look at Puerto Rico, that poor, poor place. And Trump is the reason why it hasn't gotten the types of response that it needs. You know, people died, and he's like, Puerto Rico, whatever.
Not just people, Americans died.
Americans.
The thing we have to, I know you know that, and you're saying that, but I have to be very clear for people who, I don't know, failed.
Maybe don't know that Puerto Rico is an American.
Yeah, they don't know they're part of the American Empire, who failed high school physics, who failed high school civics.
Thank you.
If they couldn't pass high school civics, they failed high school physics too. But that they don't realize that, like, oh, whatever with those people. No, those are Americans, and we let that happen to them because we just don't care if it's, and we just don't, if you're not rich, if you're not privileged, If you don't have money, power, influence, it doesn't matter where you are in this sphere of American empire. We just leave you to die. That's from the streets of New Orleans to the streets of Camden, New Jersey to San Juan, Puerto Rico. We just leave you to die because you can't serve the empire. You can't help it.
You're considered a burden on the system.
Absolutely.
You know, when your taxpayer money has been playing into that system for. Just that sort of reason is to be able to help the people that it needs the most. But no, our taxpayer money goes to the industrial military complex.
I actually read a report today that undocumented immigrants, people that are supposed to be leeches on our society who come here illegally, actually pay more in taxes than the 1%. Maybe I'll have to, if we put this on the website, I'll have to find that again and put in the show notes. But it was one of those things where, like, I could completely believe it because you're paying more in income tax because those people, they're getting taxed more. Like we all are, all poor working people. And then,
well, also in sales tax too. I
mean, right.
they're buying more stuff. They're part of the system, right? You have, when you buy milk or eggs or anything like that, you're putting money back into the system that needs to be there.
Exactly.
But the problem is you have places like Amazon, which played zero tax. Could you, man, if I didn't have to pay tax, I could get out of debt.
Right. No. Yeah. If you didn't have to pay corporate income tax, if we had a corporation, yeah, we could all just absolutely get out of debt. But that's not the goal for me personally. Like, I don't mind, paying taxes, I really like our
federal. I thought you were going to say you don't mind being in debt.
No, I do mind being in debt.
But I mean, look at like what we were talking about last week with Jeff Bezos and his stupid moon colony. That's where all of our money is going, is to this guy speculating on how quickly he can get away from the earth because he knows what's going to go down.
Yeah, they know it's over. That's the thing. They know it's 100% over. And
the moon is the only place left
people
to go.
People like Bezos and people like Elon Musk, I completely understand them. Like, oh, we got to get off this planet because it's really about to hit the fan. The people that I really try to illuminate is people who are in the 10%, not the 1%, or people who are still somehow they still in that tiny sliver of middle class. And I actually had this discussion with my stepdad on a Disney cruise of all places. And we talked about income inequality. And I said, well, look, I don't want to try to convince you that we should take care of the poor and downtrodden in this society because it's the right thing to do, even though that's my 100% like heart of hearts argument. That's what I would push. I don't even want to go there. What I want to say is, okay, you've worked all your life and you've busted your butt and now you say, well, what's mine is mine and everybody else can just do whatever. I say, okay, if you don't care, that's fine. But here's the deal. You're not that rich. You're not Jeff Bezos who can
fly. You're just a temporarily embarrassed millionaire.
Right. You're not Jeff Bezos who can fly off to the moon. So when things get really bad, you're not going to be able to build a wall high enough or higher enough.
You're literally going to need a spaceship to get away from us.
right. So when things get really bad, the people who it's really bad for are not going to come after Jeff Bezos because he's already in this rocket ship. They're going to come after you. So it would be to your benefit to help people meet their basic needs so you don't end up a victim of the terror 2.0. And with that said, I think we are good for this episode of awesome. Good Morning Comrade. Yeah, it was real easy. Easy breezy. I hope everybody had a great time.
It's listening. Easier with two people.
I know. It's easier with two people instead of like a whole menagerie.
A circus.
But the menagerie's coming back. So if you're tired of just hearing me rant, the menagerie will be back. And again, contact the show at Good Morning Comrade. I'm sorry. What is our... What is our email address? It is contact@goodmorningcomrade. We also have Twitter, so and a Facebook, which is kind of operational.
What's the Twitter handle?
It's Morning Comrade. At Morning Comrade. Yeah, you'll be the first follower. I'll tweet it out from that. Yeah. But again, thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.